force can cause to abandon its purpose. There is the whole inseparable company of virtues. Every honorable act is the work of one single virtue, but it is in accordance with the judgment of the whole council. And that which is approved by all the virtues, even though it seems to be the work of one alone, is desirable. What? Do you think that those things only are desirable, which come to us amid pleasure and ease, and which we bedeck our doors to welcome? There are certain goods whose features are forbidding. There are certain prayers which are offered by a throng, not of men who rejoice, but of men who bow down reverently and worship. Was it not in this fashion, think you, that Regulus prayed that he might reach Carthage? Clothe yourself with a hero's courage, and withdraw for a little space from the opinions of the common man. Form a proper conception of the image of virtue, a thing of exceeding beauty and grandeur. This image is not to be worshipped by us with incense and garlands, but with sweat and blood. Behold Marcus Cato, laying upon that hallowed breast his unspotted hands, and tearing apart the wounds which had not gone deep enough to kill him. Which, pray, shall you say to him? I hope all will be as you wish, and I am grieved. Or shall it be good fortune in your undertaking? In this connection, I think of our friend Demetrius, who calls an easy existence, untroubled by the attacks of fortune, a dead sea. If you have nothing to stir you up and rouse you to action, nothing which will test your resolution by its threats and hostilities, if you recline in unshaken comfort, it is not tranquility, it is merely a flat calm. The Stoic Attalus was wont to say, I should prefer that fortune keep me in her camp rather than in the lap of luxury. If I am tortured, but bear it bravely, all is well. If I die, but die bravely, it is also well. Listen to Epicurus. He will tell you that it is actually pleasant. I myself shall never apply an effeminate word to an act so honorable and austere. If I go to the stake, I shall go unbeaten. Why should I not regard this as desirable? Not because the fire burns me, but because it does not overcome me. Nothing is more excellent or more beautiful than virtue. Whatever we do in obedience to her orders is both good and desirable. Farewell. Letter 68 On Wisdom and Retirement. I fall in with your plan. Retire, and conceal yourself in repose. But, at the same time, conceal your retirement also. In doing this, you may be sure that you will be following the example of the Stoics, if not their precept. But you will be acting according to their precept also. You will thus satisfy both yourself and any Stoic you please. We Stoics do not urge men to take up public life in every case, or at all times, or without any qualification. Besides, when we have assigned to our wise man that field of public life which is worthy of him, in other words, the universe, he is then not apart from public life, even if he withdraws. Nay, perhaps he has abandoned only one little corner thereof, and has passed over into greater and wider regions. And when he has been set in the heavens, he understands how lowly was the place in which he sat when he mounted the curule chair or the judgment seat. Lay this to heart, that the wise man is never more active in affairs than when things divine as well as things human have come within his ken. I now return to the advice which I set out to give you, that you keep your retirement in the background. There is no need to fasten a placard upon yourself with the words philosopher and quietist. Give your purpose some other name. Call it ill health and bodily weakness, or mere laziness. To boast of our retirement is but idle self-seeking. Certain animals hide themselves from discovery by confusing the marks of their footprints in the neighborhood of their lairs. You should do the same. Otherwise, there will always be someone dogging your footsteps. Many men pass by that which is visible and peer after things hidden and concealed. A locked room invites the thief. Things which lie in the open appear cheap. The housebreaker passes by that which is exposed to view. This is the way of the world, and the way of all ignorant men. They crave to burst in upon hidden things. It is therefore best not to vaunt one's retirement. It is, however, a sort of vaunting to make too much of one's concealment and of one's withdrawal from the sight of men. So-and-so has gone into his retreat at Tarentum. That other man has shut himself up at Naples. This third person, for many years, has not crossed the threshold of his own house. To advertise one's retirement is to collect a crowd. When you withdraw from the world, your business is to talk with yourself, not to have men talk about you. But what shall you talk about? Do just what people are fond of doing when they talk about their neighbors. Speak ill of yourself when by yourself. Then you will become accustomed both to speak and to hear the truth. Above all, however, ponder that which you come to feel is your greatest weakness. Each man knows best the defects of his own body. And so one relieves his stomach by vomiting. Another props it up by frequent eating. Another drains and purges his body by periodic fasting. Those whose feet are visited by pain abstain either from wine or from the bath. In general, men who are careless in other respects go out of their way to relieve the disease which frequently afflicts them. So it is with our souls. There are in them certain parts which are, so to speak, on the sick list, and to these parts the cure must be applied. What then am I myself doing with my leisure?